Good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I know a lot of people are away, it seems like, for the long weekend, but we're glad that you're here to come join us for our worship this morning. So, just like last week, as we have been announcing, we are, along with other churches around the world, observing Missions Month for October. Last week, we had a guest speaker, Priscilla. This week, we have Sister Amy from Compassion Canada. They were here a few years back. I was telling them, seems like yesterday, but it was really back in 2021 or two. And her daughter, Alyssa, spoke to us and shared the message to us. It was just us. There was nobody, I don't think there was anybody on the pews. I can't remember, but it was just us here, and it was live streamed. I think you can even go back to that sermon on our video archives. But this morning, we had the privilege of listening to and hearing from Sister Amy. So let me just give you a little bit of information about Sister Amy. She serves as the philanthropy manager at Compassion Canada. She's married to Brother Floyd. Brother Floyd's back there. So that's her husband. They have two children, Alyssa and John. Sister Amy holds the CFRE credential and has a certificate in nonprofit leadership for impact from the University of Toronto. Her passion is to inspire her fellow Jesus followers towards a lifestyle of generosity. She herself seeks to live out Micah 6:8, and that is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. So, without further ado, let me call up Sister Amy.
Well, good morning, Glen Cairn Baptist Church. It's such an honor and a privilege to be here to share with you this morning. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Sunny and the church leadership for having Compassion be represented today, and especially during your Missions Month this October. We don't take it for granted when churches open up their doors to have us share about our ministry. And so, as Pastor Sunny mentioned, last time we were here was during COVID, when the sanctuary was empty, and my daughter Alyssa, who is a volunteer with Compassion, spoke to an empty room. But you guys responded regardless so generously, and you guys gave towards our COVID disaster response fund. And so thank you so much for that. And so, as Pastor Sunny mentioned, my name is Amy. I'm here together with my husband, Floyd, who you'll meet later. We'll both be at the Compassion table outside. And I want to say that as part of my role at Compassion, I get to visit churches across Ontario, actually, you know, most Sundays. And I always love visiting churches like Glen Cairn, where I see a lot of brothers and sisters from the Philippines, because it feels like home. And so Floyd and I were both born and raised in Cebu City, Philippines. And so for those of you here who are Cebuanos, Mayong Buntag. Yeah, there's some people here who responded. That's great. My Tagalog's not so great, so I'll stick with English. But if you speak in Cebuano, I'm very happy to chat with you in Cebuano later. And so, yeah, even though this is now my job, you know, I work for Compassion as Compassion's philanthropy manager, it really isn't a job to me. It's a calling. And so you'll hear a little bit of our family story as I speak today. But we started by sponsoring one child with Compassion, and then we became volunteers. Actually, all four of us became volunteers right away with Compassion, and that's how we started our journey with this ministry. And then many years later, you know, 8 years later, I joined the staff team. And so, yeah, really, you know, we personally believe in this ministry, and this is why I represent this ministry. And so, first of all, I want to greet everyone a happy Thanksgiving. It's so great to be here not only on Missions Month, but also on Thanksgiving. It's a topic close to my heart about being generous, but because it stems out of our gratefulness, right? And so I wanted to just read with you, read to you a quote from an author. Her name is Anne Voskamp. She's actually Canadian. She lives right here in near Kitchener. And she's a friend of mine, actually, too, a good friend of mine. And so she, on Thanksgiving, she says this: God calls me to do things, to give the things away, that thanksgiving might literally become things living, that our lives become the very blessings we have received. In an endless cycle of grace, he gives us gifts to serve the world. It's the fundamental, lavish, radical nature of the upside-down economy of God. I can become the blessing, a little life that multiplies joy, making the larger world a better place. God can use these hands and these feet to be his love, a love that goes on and on and on forever, an endless cycle of grace. And so I hope that blesses you this morning as you think about Thanksgiving and what that means for us as Jesus followers. So yes, I'm honored to be bringing the message to you this morning and to also introduce Compassion's ministry to everyone today. And so since it is Thanksgiving weekend, I thought that it would be appropriate to speak on the topic. We can have the slides up, please, the first slide. On the topic of choosing to have eyes to see, right? And to recognize God's abounding love for us. To recognize that we are blessed in order to bless other people, especially those who are in need. And so I wanted to read again Psalm 103, and it's on the next slide. The Lord is, maybe we can read it together, this version. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So brothers and sisters, as we can read from this passage, God's abounding love simply translates really to his compassion for us, his children, right? The last verse says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion to those who fear him. So some translations actually have this translated as parents. Right? And so regardless of our stage in life, you know, whether you are married, whether you're a senior, whether you're a young person, you know, I think all of us have children in our lives, right? Whether they are our own flesh and blood or children that you care deeply about. And I'm certain that all of us can fully relate to this verse, right? For me, you know, I'm a mother myself, you know, even though my kids are now young adults, they're 24 and 27, I can still certainly relate to this verse, right? You know, I have this special type of compassion just for my children, right? And so I'll say that as women and mothers, you know, I see a lot of women here today. I think that we can feel this type of compassion really deeply. I might even say deeper than men, our brothers here in the room, right? And all the women say amen, right? So, you know, the full breadth and significance of this word compassion, I want to like unpack that a little bit, really means to suffer with. And so whenever you see the word compassion used in the Bible, it is used in the context to literally mean to be so moved by a situation that you encountered, that you feel it in your gut, like you feel it in your bowels, right? You often will hear the word used, like the term used, gut punch. You've been gut punched, right? And it literally illustrates that compassion. Like, you know, when you see a situation, you hear a story that you are so moved in your insides that there is this physical reaction, this gut reaction that you can't help but feel an emotion or a sensation and you are moved to act, right? That is compassion defined as the way that it's used in the Bible whenever you encounter the word compassion. And so it really means that someone else's heartbreak becomes your own heartbreak. Another person's suffering becomes your own suffering, right? You're moved to the point of tears and you can't help but do something. So true compassion, brothers and sisters, changes the way we live. True compassion compels us to respond and to act. So God is not just saying this, right? He actually models this for us, right? And so he demonstrates this type of compassion in the ultimate way. And that's by sending Jesus to die for our sins, right? So that we can live life to the full, abundant life. As it says in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus, who we're all very familiar with this text, right? Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So if we think about Jesus' example and how God demonstrated his compassion for us, I wonder if we can see, you know, what does Jesus' example show us, like in terms of how we should live as his followers. And so let's flip to the next slide, please. We'll see this in Philippians chapter 1, right? Right before Philippians chapter 2, which talked about how Jesus, you know, emptied himself and became human. In Philippians chapter 1, this is Paul's great prayer for the church in Philippi. Paul's desire or his encouragement to the church in Philippi is that their love for God and for each other may abound more and more. So how does this happen? I think that as we experience God's abounding love for us each day, and we choose to live lives loving the world like Jesus did, we are transformed as a result, right? And as transformed people, we love the things that Jesus loves, and we long for the wholeness that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross made possible. And these are manifested through the things that we do, right? And so, you know, it may look like fellowship with fellow Jesus followers, like you guys do here every Sunday, you know, but I believe that it must not stop here. It must spread out into the community. And then so from that, you know, there must be evangelism to those outside the church, right? Whether it's here locally in your neighborhood or through missions across to the world. But then mainly like proclaiming, I have instructions there. To slide it away to your right. This way? Okay. Sorry, guys. Is this good? Better? Okay. Yes, evangelism outside the church. But I also believe that it can't just stop there, you know, by proclaiming the gospel, because faith without action is dead, right? And so there must be an outpouring of what that means, you know, in terms of good works. And so it is also to be manifested through building the kingdom of God through acts of compassion and justice. Again, both here at home locally, through missions locally, and around the world as well. And so I want to read, maybe we can read it together as well, the verse on the screen. It's Philippians 1, chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filling with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So let's unpack a little bit what it means to let love abound. So the word abound used here by Paul means to overflow in both quantity and quality, right? To be in excess. So Paul is praying that the Philippians, the church in Philippi, would love each other and the world around them to such an extent that there would be excess, enough to spare, and tons left over, right? This is a love that is big enough to reach beyond the comfortable sphere of your church family and reaches outside to touch the hearts of hurting communities here at home and around the world. It's the kind of love that God showed us. You know, it's a love that translates to compassion. So next slide, please. So in other words, the bottom line is that God's love compels us, right? The evidence of a transformed life, like if we say we are Jesus's followers and that we are recipients of his amazing grace, the evidence of a transformed life is having compassion for the world in need. It makes us choose to see poverty through God's eyes, and it changes everything. So I'm going to pause here, and I want to share with you a time when my family and I saw poverty through God's eyes and how it changed everything for us. And so 15 years ago, when our daughter Alyssa was 12 years old, that year, you know, leading up to that year, we had been subscribing a magazine like for her. It's a focus on a family publication called Brio. Remember those days when magazines were a thing, you know, before smartphones, before tablets, and you actually received magazines at home. And she was a keen reader, and she just devoured all the stories in that magazine. And so she's been reading stories about teenagers. So it's a magazine that's targeted and directed towards like tweens, right, and teenagers. And so she's been reading about teenagers, you know, doing missional things, missional work. And one of the stories that was featured monthly is teenagers sponsoring Compassion Children and how they would write letters and some of them would visit the kids that they sponsored. She was really captured by like this idea. And so that Christmas when she was 12, she said, "Hey, Dad and Mom, you know what I want for Christmas this year?" She said, "A little sister." And we're like, "No way, no, we're done. You and your brother, that's enough." And she was like, "I was just kidding. Like a little sister from Compassion." And so we were like, "Oh, well, okay, that we can do. That's easy, you know." But really, what we were thinking, though, in our head is, what is this ministry? We've never heard about Compassion before. And we're just going to give this monthly donation, like, pretty much forever. This is kind of suspicious, you know. But because she was so just adamant about it, you know, and if you guys know my daughter, you'll know that she's very strong-willed and very convincing. And so we went ahead and said, "Okay, sure, you know, we'll sponsor you a Compassion little sister for Christmas." And then, but we were thinking, Floyd and I, just like any teenage like interest, you know, it'll be fleeting. Like she'll forget about it. In 6 months, she'll be tired of writing letters, and we can just call Compassion and, "Hey, we want to cancel our sponsorship," right? All done, Reno. But, you know, she, like I said, she's strong-willed, right? So a year later, she was still writing strong. She was reporting back to us about, like, how this child has, you know, grown, what she's doing, and like, you know, she was like, it'd be great if we like met her one day, and we were like, okay, forget about canceling, this is now a serious thing, right? And so, she was just really serious. And so this child that we sponsored for her, you know, child's name is Florian Lin, and she lives in the island of Masbate in the Philippines. And so who here has been to Masbate? I don't see hands. Okay. So we figured, Floyd and I figured, okay, if we're going to do this now, like, long term, you know, because she's super invested, my daughter, we would need to check this out, right? Like, if this is a legitimate organization, you know, that we would be donating long term to and supporting this child with. And so, happened that year, it was 2011, we were planning a trip to the Philippines to visit family. And since this child is in the Philippines, we said, well, let's make Alyssa's dream come true, and let's visit this child, right? Let's request a visit with Compassion. And so they arranged a visit for us. When we arrived in Philippines, you know, Floyd's brother met us in Manila. We said, hey, you know, like in a few days, we're going to go to Masbate. And he said, are you guys out of your mind? You know, don't go there. It's dangerous. Like, it's a very poor, like, community. Like, there will be no air condition. You know, it'll be really, really primitive. And, like, you likely won't survive. Exaggerating. But we were like, you know, yeah, we kind of knew that. We were like, but the thing is, when God stirs something in you, right, the only really appropriate response is yes, you know? And so we went. We went just for 2 days, thank goodness, because in reality, it's true, I wouldn't really have survived more than 2 days. There was no air condition. There were lizards everywhere in the resort, and in quote, resort hotel room. And I'd say I probably didn't sleep a wink, really, because I was worried the lizards would like crawl into the bed and all that stuff. Okay, but we did meet Florian Lin and her family. What we saw there was that this is a ministry that allows us, those of us who live in the first world with a privileged lifestyle, to be a missionary to a family in need, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, you know, to be able to be a missionary while you are unable to actually be a missionary yourself, you know, in your everyday life here in Toronto. And we are like, this is a good thing. You know, we saw the church ministering to their community in ways that we have never seen or heard of before. You know, keep in mind, this was long before we became volunteers with Compassion, and even longer before I joined the staff team. And so this was our first encounter with Compassion's ministry in the field. And so so a part of the visit is you visit the church, you see all the ministry, all the children in like the activities and all that. But then, you know, the big portion of the day is to just have one-on-one with the child you sponsor, bring them to lunch, and then visit their homes, right? So we had lunch. So we went to lunch. And so my family will tell you that I always over-prepare food. So it's Thanksgiving weekend. My sisters and I are having a potluck. And they always say to me, Mom, you don't understand what potluck means. Potluck means you just have to bring what's enough for our family, not to feed everybody, right? But somehow I always like miss the memo. And the same thing here. You know, when we went to lunch, I over-ordered food, obviously. And they were like, see, Mom, you did it again, you know, and what we're going to do with all the food left over. And so I said, no problem. We'll just pack it all up and then they can bring it home, right? You know, that's fine. And then so, you know, when I was doing that, I looked up and Florian's mom looked really like emotional. And she said something that really shocked me to the core. She said, This is grace. This as in the food. The food is grace because tonight we will eat. And so, like I said, I was shocked. I felt gut punch, right? Compassion. I felt compassion. I felt that something was so simple for us that we take for granted, which is leftovers, is grace for them, right? It contrasted, you know, our lives and their lives. Like, what is grace to a family who lives in extreme poverty is something that we don't even think about in our daily lives. And so I'll continue with my story, but I'll pause here for a minute to show you a video. And it's just compassion's overview video, so you understand the full breadth of what compassion does in the field.
Compassion is working around the world to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. But how exactly does it work? Well, to begin with, we love Jesus. We love the church. And we love children. Everything we do flows from there. Compassion partners with more than 8,000 churches worldwide, churches who are already ministering to families living in poverty. The staff and volunteers at these churches know the needs in their communities because they live there too. Compassion staff get to know these churches and talk with them about how we can complement what they're already doing.
Going to restart the video. All right, we're going to continue as Dave fixed the video. We'll go back to the video. All right, there's a next slide that I wanted to talk about, just the effects of COVID-19 in terms of poverty, right? As I mentioned, I was saying to Pastor Sunny when I arrived, that seems so long ago when we were last here. It was during COVID, right? And he goes, in some sense, it also feels like yesterday. And it's true, right? COVID has really like changed our world, right? And even though we here in Canada are sort of quote-unquote back to normal, right? You know, we're gathering again. We don't wear masks anymore. We probably, like, we are thinking COVID is a thing of the past, right? COVID, though, leaves a lasting legacy of rising poverty and widening inequality. And so just some stats I wanted to share with you is, like, globally, about 670 million people, or 8.4% of the world's population, live in extreme poverty today because of COVID. And so that means that they're living under $2.15 a day. And that's extreme poverty. And there are even more people who are in like other levels of poverty, not extreme, right? And then did you know that, you know, my kids are 24 and 27. So in their lifetime, you know, since they were born, poverty has always been better, right? Like we've made a positive impact on poverty alleviation over the last 25 to 30 years. But then when the COVID pandemic hit, the result is that all of those progress of 30 years was reversed, erased and reversed, right? So poverty increased for the first time in a generation because of COVID. And then the last stat I wanted to share with you is also because of COVID. You know, you feel it here, right? Grocery prices are going up. Imagine for a family living in extreme poverty. And I think of Florian Lynn's mom, you know, when she says they don't have something to eat every day. 2.4 billion people worldwide are experiencing some sort of food insecurity. And so that means they don't have food to eat. They won't have food to eat every single day. And so I believe that the ministry of compassion, you know, small c compassion, as the Bible talks about, compassion that makes you feel gut punch, and the Ministry of Compassion, Big C Compassion, the organization that I represent. It's needed now more than ever before. Like, these stats are all people, right? But in terms of children, you know, majority of the stats represent children, actually. And so there are 1 billion children worldwide today experiencing multidimensional poverty, which means they lack basic things like nutritious food, safe water, or sanitation. And we're not even mentioning like education or medical care, right? And so Compassion International, you know, Compassion Canada is part of an international ministry. We serve 2 million children today and their families. And we do so exclusively through local churches in the community that they live. And we are now in 29 countries. And so this includes the Philippines, actually, where we have 455 church partners all across the country. And we are serving 104,976 children in the Philippines. And we have been in the country for 51 years now. And so just a little bit about compassion and for you to remember, there's 3 C's. The first C is that we are Christ-centered, right? Everything we do stems from evangelism and discipleship as the primary objective, right? And we do that through the second C, which is church-driven. We're able to do evangelism and discipleship because we focus and partner exclusively with local churches, which brings me to the third C, which is we are child-focused, of course. Our children, our ministry is to children, and we are focused on child development, right? We take care of kids from the womb to the workplace. And so today, you know, 25 of those children from the Philippines are here with us. Well, not physically here with us, but their child profiles are, right? And I'm going to tell you in a little bit how you can get involved with Compassion. But let's see if the video is ready.
Compassion is working around the world to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. But how exactly does it work? Well, to begin with, we love Jesus. We love the church. And we love children. Everything we do flows from there. Compassion partners with more than 8,000 churches worldwide, churches who are already ministering to families living in poverty. The staff and volunteers at these churches know the needs in their communities because they live there too. Compassion staff get to know these churches and talk with them about how we can complement what they're already doing. We offer training, financial resources, and curriculum to help expand and deepen their impact. These partner churches then reach out to families in their communities, inviting children to be part of what we call a child development center. Activities at the center are designed to encourage physical, mental, social, emotional, and spiritual growth. Many of these churches start at the earliest stages of development, coming alongside pregnant moms to help them have a healthy pregnancy and delivery. Staff from the center visit new caregivers and their babies at home to check on their health and equip them with the resources they need to thrive. As children get older, they attend activities at the Child Development Center. Staff and tutors there get to know children personally and help them through challenges at school and at home. As children become teenagers, they learn skills that will help them be successful in life, like vocational skills and how to have healthy relationships. Churches also support parents and caregivers to improve stability at home. They may offer classes that promote literacy, healthy discipline, and skills to earn an income. Churches also identify specific problems that hinder child development and work with Compassion on solutions like sourcing clean water, providing mosquito nets, building latrines, and constructing classrooms at the church. All community activities vary from church to church because the challenges are unique to each community. When children in the program face urgent medical needs or their communities are affected by disaster, they don't have to wait for help. The church is already there, identifying needs and working to bring relief, recovery, and healing, all while carrying the message of eternal hope in Jesus. Throughout this journey, Compassion invites supporters to connect with what these churches are doing by investing in children's development financially and relationally. Together, we are a team that surrounds these children and youth. We invite you to join these churches as they help children become all that God has created them to be.
Message and then end with an invitation for you guys. And so, as you can see in this next slide, you know, poverty was never God's plan. When God created the world, his plan for us was to live in perfect relationship with him, with ourselves, with each other, and with the world around us. In the Garden of Eden, these relationships were perfectly functioning, and poverty could not exist, right? But however, because of sin, everything broke. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. This is the root of brokenness, the root of poverty. And today, we all suffer the consequences of this. We all suffer from one form of poverty or another, right? The families we serve at Compassion, they may suffer from the poverty of not having enough. But from my experience in Masbate during lunch there, I came to realize that those of us who live with much, who live with privilege, suffer from an equally or maybe even more devastating form of poverty. And I call that the poverty of having too much. So the good news is, though, as you can see in the slide, Luke 4:18, right? Jesus has come to preach good news to the poor. So that means there's hope for all of us, right? For those suffering from the poverty of not having enough, and for us who suffers from the poverty of having too much. Jesus done this because of his abounding love for all of us, because of his compassion for the world, the whole world. And that is something that we can absolutely be grateful for, not just today on Thanksgiving Sunday, but each day of our lives, right? And I believe that this requires a response, because as our relationship with God begins to mend through Jesus, we are empowered through Christ to bring our broken world back into wholeness, to be a blessing because we are blessed. And so my last slide, please. As our relationship with God begins to mend, we understand and adopt his heart and of compassion and justice for the world, right? We start to see poverty and brokenness through God's eyes, and we start to see how he is changing everything for us. So, brothers and sisters, this is my question to you. Are you open to how he is changing everything for you? So today you have an opportunity to sponsor a child with Compassion. So it's $57 to sponsor with Compassion. How that's broken down is $47 goes to sponsor this specific child, and $10 extra is towards Compassion's ministry in general, including to help kids who are still waiting for sponsors. And so honestly, it's way less than what a night out for dinner would cost these days, right? I know this because we as a family used to eat out a lot, like a lot, before COVID. And it was a bad habit of ours, really. And then COVID shut down all the restaurants, right? And so then we had to be like, well, who's going to cook now? Like, how are we going to eat now, right? So we devised this schedule. And so there's four of us. I'm like, we're all adults now. You know, we're going to each, like, be responsible for making dinner, not just me anymore. So, you know, Monday's me, Tuesday's Alyssa, Wednesday is Jonathan, Thursday is Floyd. Yes, Floyd even learned to cook during COVID. And usually by Friday, we'd have leftovers and no one has to cook, right? And then Saturday and Sunday, we just kind of fend for yourself, you know, kind of thing, because it's the weekend. I'm really proud that we've been able to keep up that schedule, that cooking schedule, up until now, up until today. And so that's money that we've been able to save up and to not use on, like, buying food or going to restaurants, that we could help even more children through Compassion's ministry. So perhaps for you, I want you to think about your lifestyle and your budget. Maybe it's giving up that Starbucks order twice a week. I saw a lot of young people here. My kids, you know, they love their bubble tea and their Starbucks. And I was shocked how bubble tea costs more than Starbucks now. It's crazy. Anyway, so maybe it's your Starbucks order or your bubble tea order. Or maybe it's going for a lower cable package, or maybe giving up your one of your subscriptions, be it Netflix or Prime or whatever else is out there, Disney, right? Maybe one of those. Whatever it looks like for you, I believe that each one of us, like all of us, I think, has room to sponsor at least one child if we consider what we can give up within our budgets, right? So us to live as grateful recipients of God's abounding love. I believe, church, that God has equipped us for such a time as this, and that when we give generously, God will honor that, and our impact for children and families through missions will be greater than we can ever imagine. And so thank you again for letting me share this morning with you. I want to close by watching a video. It's a story of Angeline. She's a program participant from the Philippines. I think you guys saw it last week, but maybe if you're not here, you weren't here last week, you know, it's new for you. But if you were, it's a review for you. You know, it's a really heartwarming story of Angeline from the Philippines. And then I hope to meet, Floyd and I hope to meet many of you after the service today at the table, and we'll help you choose a child to sponsor. All right, thank you again, church. And let's close with this video.
I was about to go to school, and when I opened the door, I just saw drugs, and I discovered that my father was a drug dealer. Every time my classmates ask me about my family or what's the occupation of my parents, I don't tell them directly the truth, and because I am ashamed.
Shabu, which is equivalent to a low-quality meth, is very rampant. We have children ages 11, 12 who start taking drugs.
I know that I will be encountering some problems with Angeline, because Angeline came from a very dysfunctional home. I counsel her, Angeline, just don't mind about what is happening in your family. Mind about yourself, mind about the Lord, mind about everything what you are doing here. There was healing.
I started confessing my sins, and because I really felt the presence of God that time, and it was really, it was new to me, that feeling, and I know that God was really there, and He was really touching my heart. Having a sponsor is a great impact to me, because it helps me being strong, and it motivates me, it encourages me. For me, God is not just my Lord and my Savior, but God is my friend.
If you look at Angeline, you look at Angeline as a worshiper. When she leads the worship, she will really lead the congregation to worship the Lord. I tell you, she said, when I have struggles, I will just worship the Lord, and I'll be back. I'll be back to life.